I'm up for the next.
There's a whole cosmos right here.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of little particles, all kinds of forces to connect them.
None of which may be any better.
Got several kinds of quarks coming in different flavors and different colors. Okay, we left off. I believe we finished the first paragraph on this writing party, so we're starting the second paragraph. Who's up next?
I am.
Oh, Tony?
It felt good yesterday at the end of the hour, but...
Yeah, it always catches you the next day. Unless we just forget we did it.
It always catches.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
What did he... Ahari, Asher, Lo, Matza, Osam, Bishkem, Yalek.
Yalek?
We're working on that one.
Okay. That Ahari there at the beginning, too, I think he has an Ahari.
Yeah.
Watch those two dots there.
Okay.
So when you find yourself seeing double, it's hooray there.
Wayim ta otam betoka. Ubaterum Ikirab Alehem Waye Amaru.
Okay, Wayomaru. Wayomaru.
Wayomaru.
You got a dot in the middle and a dot in the top.
Ish El Achau.
Okay, now it's Achiu. It all depends on that vowel under the shape there. In one case you have Achau, in one case you have you.
Achiu.
And here you have a Achau in the other one.
Oh.
Okay, you can stop right there. There's a split there. That in the next clause you might say it came to pass afterwards.
The thing that's tripped me up in my translation here is I had this Asher didn't make any sense in the sense that I'm going to throw it out.
Well, you can almost do that, but it's the idea is it came to pass afterwards that he, that this happened.
Okay.
So the Asher is just introducing that whole clause.
Okay.
So if you translate that and
he did not find him in Shechem, and he something.
Okay, that's from Halak, believe it or not.
Okay, that's the one I could
remember. That's that one hay that acts like a one yod. Thinks it's a one yod.
And he went, and he was finding them in Dothan, and was seeing his brothers from distance, and this phrase also kind of puzzled me. I have in not yet will draw nigh to them.
Okay.
And he was saying a man toward his brothers, and I got, you know, it doesn't make sense in the sentence of it.
Okay, ubiterum is in before. Ubiterum. And it was in before he approached them. Mm-hmm. He approached them, what did you have? Forget for drew near or approached or something like that.
Right.
Unto them. And he said to each, and they said each man to his brother. So let's go through it again. And it came to pass afterwards that he did not find them in Shechem. And he went and he found them in Dothan, and his brothers saw him from afar off, before he approached unto them. Okay, that just follows, you know, that's a complete surprise. His brothers saw him from afar off before he approached unto them, and they said each man to his brother. So the whole scene is there. They saw him afar off. You've got converted imperfect, so you're translating them as perfect along here. You do have this negative here. You did not find them. Lo matza otam. And so that kind of broke the sequence that was there before, although there was an asher clause. But then you pick it up with the yayelech. You know, you did not find them, and he went and found them, and so forth. So you're continuing with converted imperfect. And any other questions on that?
Yes.
Yayelech.
I didn't see why the
goal is
there.
Oh, that's just because it's justice type of populated form here. You get that from,
I guess it was that word, but I expect a different vowel.
Okay.
There's a paradigm on 140 and 139.
Yeah, page 139 is your paradigm, but you do, you have to go up to, let's see, where did they said somewhere in this chapter. Okay, yes. If you go up a little above that, to part A here, the change is regular for seri imperfects other than yetze. And it's dealing with the fact that this class of one-year-olds, I guess we have to go back a little further, but there's frequently a difference in the first form of often versus, particularly the third person, so that you get the shortening form. So Wayomar, you had Wayomer. And this one's got a theory, but it was to go also.
We had that with another one too, just before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's, and you have the forms there for Wak. Wayelech is the first form of part A there, the fourth column, there your first one is Wayelech. That's what we have here.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, then we pick up with, I guess Peter, you're next. Pick up with Ma'al there.
Ba'al ha-haramol ba v'ata leku v'naharga oto v'samnu oto v'achar achad ha-orot v'amarnu ki Kaya, Ra'a, Akala, Akala, Oto.
Okay.
Where does this start?
The
master of the dreams came and Hata. Come, I don't know what that is.
Okay, now. And now.
What is that from?
It's coming. You have to take this as participle. It is ambiguous. Whether it's the perfect form or whether it's participle, but participle is the only thing that fits here. in context. So the master of the dreams is coming, or you know, this dreamer, this master dream is coming. And now, see, the
kind you do have the, you go, it's now coming, or you say, and now?
No, and now it's introducing the next clause.
Okay.
Kind of, and now, you know, I don't want to say the next word here. Cause
yeah. And now come, let us kill him and put him in one of the pits, and we will say that an evil beast ate him.
Okay, good. Yeah, the dreamer is coming, or the master of dreams is coming, and now come on, let us kill him, you see. And you've got the laku, you see, you've got quite a ata laku, and it's a real urgent type of thing here. And now, come on, let's kill him and put him in one of the pits and say that an evil beast, evil animal, ate him.
Put him in what? In one of the pits?
One of the pits, yeah. The akad. So that's your construct form of akad.
Yeah, I figured that, but I was thinking one pit.
Yeah, one of the pits. Okay.
I was wondering about that adjective rock on animal. How can you have an evil animal or a bad animal? Can you use something else to translate it in that context?
Well, you will be saying that's kind of what King James has. I think they're really thinking of a vicious, malevolent beast, that's just killing people, that kind of thing.
That was what all kinds of cowards.
Not necessarily that the beast is morally wicked, but the beast is a killing, it's from our perspective, it's evil. It's like when it says that God thought to do evil, but he repented or something. God isn't going to sin in the first place.
Of course,
but he does things that are evil from our perspective.
If an ox gored a man, he could have
death. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The moral law.
Yeah, the moral law. Okay. Next question. Any other problems with it? Okay, next sentence then, Dan. I just go up to the colon here again. Well, no, I think you can take the whole sentence because it stops after all the things.
Vayishma Reuben et Ibrahim Vayomer Alehem Al Tishlechu Ram Vayad Al Tishlechu
Oh, okay.
And Reuben heard their words and said to them, don't shed blood and don't hand against him.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, I can see what the idea there. Don't extend a hand against him, or into him, or on him, or something. And the idea is, we would say probably don't lay a hand on him. Don't put your hand to destroy him, to hurt him. So, good. And Reuben heard their words and said unto them, do not shed blood and do not extend a hand on him, or do not lay a hand on him.
So,
that's a negative imperative. It is an imperfect form, but remember the imperative is to negate, to make a prohibition or something.
Right.
You use all or low plus the imperative.
What's the first
Okay, which one are you looking at? Tishlefu or Tishlefu? Okay, the first consonant of the root verb. Which verb are you looking at? The second one, extend.
The second one.
Okay, that's from shalak, to stand. So the idea is to stand your hand, but you don't usually extend your hand by mail or something. No, but the idea is to extend. We probably say extend your hand. It's from shalak.
So it comes up and says to stand a hand.
Yeah, and hand not extend in him. Do not extend my hand at all. No, it'd be the direct object here, actually. The word orders, when I use the subject. Don't you extend a hand on him. And it has no S. If it were articulate, it would have an S, it would be his statement.
Would it be justified in putting an exclamatory nature to his remark against all
I think it is, because it's real immediate, and that plus the context. We know from that it's all, It's more of an urgent, immediate command rather than a long-term command. And so we've got from the previous context, you know, this whole urgency type of thing, and they were urgent to do it, and he's having to spare, you know, intercede and be sure there was emotion associated with it. So in English, I think you'd be understating it if you didn't put an exclamation on it.
It's almost like his statement is interrupted by Joseph coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. And Joseph.
I think it almost has a sense of don't even lay a hand on it. You know, don't kill it, but don't even put your hand on it. And the hand don't even put up. You know, and that feeling you get when you see a reversal like that, you see an emphasis on the hand. It's almost as though don't even touch it. You know, which I don't want you to do anything to it. Okay.
Why do they use bull?
Again, it's an idiom.
It would seem to me that they used to look for against.
Yeah.
I would think it would be against him instead of in him or with him.
Well, I don't know. I could only speculate on this. But using in would indicate perhaps more direct contact and even penetration, you know what I mean? A real, you know, when you hurt somebody, and if you're really hitting a hard blow and so forth, it's going to make a dent, you know. I mean, it's going to have impact. And, you know, it's kind of a brutal imagery, but...
Huh? Follow through.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Did they give you in the vocab anything on this image? You just had to kind of derive it from...
Yeah.
Okay. You have to say in or upon, or you have to kind of try to fit it with the context, but lay a hand to him... doesn't seem to be as strong as lay a hand in you.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's got more of a forceful picture. And he knows their intent is evil, you know, and their intent is to hurt him. And I think that's the thing that makes the difference here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next sentence then, right? I guess you go at the end then.
Okay. Why he got the share. So, you know, say that a cow, by yet, by yet, and then you, why, yes, the two, but though, Havora, Hua, Havor, Hayam, break, in, go, mine.
Okay, that'd be Kithun Tol there, that form, because that's the Kamska Tuk, because he's not a Shua.
Oh,
that's so funny. Kithun Tol, yeah, okay.
I've got everything down to the last part, so you have to help me when I get there.
Okay.
And it was when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him, and we took the tunic, his tunic,
mm-hmm.
from him, and they threw him. Now, this is strange. I guess they threw him into a pit. Then I have Haya, Reik, Ein, Bo, Hayim, which is something like an empty. Well, then I have bow and water. I don't know. I got that last braid in it.
Yeah. Well,
there's not water in it.
There's not water in it. So, in other words, explaining why it was empty, what he means by it was empty.
They threw him into a pit?
They threw him toward the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Okay. So, they threw him. And this through is kind of to send with force. You got shalach there, that same root. This is a Hittite form of it. So you are causing to send. You know, you're causing somebody to be sent. You're sending somebody, you're throwing. Well, we'll get into those derivatives later on, but that's why they had a good footnote on it. Anyway, and they threw him pitward, you know, toward the pit. And the pit was raked empty. and then you almost have to understand a comma here or something, or parenthesis. The pit was empty, not in it was water. There's no water in it.
Where would be an indication?
From Ain.
Ain.
Remember Ain and Yesh?
West to it, no water.
Yesh there is, and Ain there is not.
Well, Fork says, note the
Ain.
I think when it
says, yeah, asyndetic means it's just not connected with the rest of it. It's kind of standing by itself.
Okay. I thought he was meaning that Ain would be taking the normal sense there.
Oh, no. It's just indicating that, see, the problem is we're having to put either a comma or a parenthesis or something between rake and ink, because the syntax indicates that there's a break there. Starting with ink, the following clause is the, we call it asyndetic clause. It's, you know, you read along, the pit was empty, there was no water. You know, it's like a holding sentence, but it's just tacked on the end as an explanation. Okay, is everybody satisfied with that?
Remember,
that's another one of the funny ones that acts like that. One yod or one nun. You know, that was one of the back. Makat was the one that thought it was a one nun.
Yeah. D. H. 134.
134. Yes. Right. So it behaves as though it's a one nun and eight person. And
then what happens to the noun there for?
Would have expected a divination there.
Probably the next paragraph on the same page.
Oh, yes.
Think you did up something.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was it. There's our escape clause. Definitely the second Wisconsin University is given up in some verse was followed by the goal. Or followed by schwa. Yeah, that's what happens here. So, okay.
So what now?
Well, this is back on page 134. And you're just saying that sometimes you don't get the doubling that you would have expected. You got a schwa on it, and you got a schwa on it here. But followed by schwa means the schwa is on that consonant. So that's the reason. You know, the first time I looked at that, well, it's got to be. I knew it was Lacock, but. You expected the dogation. So that may be what threw you off to in the first place.
So it said, then they seized him and took his coat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the form of this, our coat there.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the comma come from?
Let me see on this one. I can't remember what the original noun was.
Back on page 135.
Got a colon. Got a colon? Okay, this is a shortening then.
Yeah.
The shortening. You probably would find it under the construct form of this. This is kind of an odd, you know, it's a segula type noun. And so this would be under those. The category. Those types of nouns, you can't always, by simple rules, predict what the stem vowel is going to be. Generally, ones that have colons are going to go to Kawasaki, so that's one very common pattern. And I don't think they ever list these. Did they list these this particular class with the Segol? Yeah, I thought there was something on these feminine nouns that was a Gol Tau. There was, you know, was one of the blurbs in one of our chapters on it.
It's probably on page 129
out there. Oh, yeah, that's, I think, you know, that it would kind of fit that, but I think there was an actual statement about feminine nouns in F.
Oh, that was that. Page 129, 130.
129, 130, okay. That sounds right. Okay. These are just ones in F. I think there was one place where there was feminine nouns in F. There was maybe just a little statement about it, or maybe just. I made a mistake in here, but I almost. It seemed like it was fairly recent. Maybe that might be the thing I was thinking of here. That's probably what I was thinking of. I just thought that. See, this one actually ends in F in the absolute form. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Section 111, page 124. That's the place. Okay. The feminine nouns ending in S and A. They have much like segments in the singular before suffixes. Okay, and so you have Gibberet and then we have Bosheth down at the last one. Notice what Bosheth does. It becomes Boshti. Boshti. You get Kamaskatu for that whole one. Well, the same thing happens over here, except you do have another syllable in front, but it doesn't really change the pattern. So, Kithonavi, Kithonti. Kithonto in this case. It's the third person suffix. Okay, does that answer the question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's really the same pattern, even though you do have a syllable in front. Okay, lesson 32 then, unless there's any other questions here. This is another fun one, where you get these follow verbs are coming back to it. Now, we saw in the perfect that there wasn't, you might have wondered why we made a big deal out of the fact that there were two wow or two yo's, because we got wow and yo didn't appear. But here's where they appear. They appear in the perfects and so forth, so now we're going to deal with those. In the inflection of the perfect, section 64, the lexical distinction between verbs two wow and two yo is irrelevant. In the imperfect, however, the stem vowel reflects this distinction and is indeed responsible for the classification of the verbs under the respective consonantal types. Verbs with shurek imperfects are considered two wow, because remember a shurek is a wow with a dot in it, getting it's kind of the vocalic aspect of the wow. And those with hieric yo, the imperfects, are considered two yo, because the yo is being considered in the section of part of the stem pattern. But neither the wow nor the yo has consonantal value, so don't be deceived into thinking to try to pronounce it like a wow or a yo in these cases. They have more of a moderate head value here, even though they're seen in these positions. Two basic types are the two wow and the two yo. Two wow we have like kam here. The imperfect for kam is yakum. So you have the shurik here and there, and that's why it's called a two wow, because you've got a shurik there, and the shurik is derived from the wow. And the imperative is kum, and the infinitive construct is also kum. So no difference between the imperative and infinitive construct for these two, for this verb. The justive shortens that shurik down to a colon, so you get yakum for the justive. And then the converted form is even different from that. The converted form, wayakam, you go with a comma. So this is the first time we're hearing
about
this.
Why did they have it as a
tattoo? Oh, yeah, wayakam, excuse me. That's what you can't really tell on these, because the final commas can't appear in a closed syllable in the final. So it is a yakam. That makes sense just because it's shortened from yakam above. That's the reason. So you just have to note that. If he didn't put it in the transliteration, he wouldn't know. Glad you noted that. Wayakom. Okay, that is a kamasatu. And it's just because it's from what, you have to kind of know that it's a verb that's derived from a verb in order to know how to pronounce it that way. Because we've had, like kam to start out with, that's not kamasatu, that's a whole kamasatu.
Probably because the syllable is not stressed. I think that.
Yes, yes, right. That's another thing too. There's no stress on that. There might have been a rule to that effect. That might be why we don't have any special rule on that. Yeah, wayakum. Yeah, you get a refracted stress here, so that may be all you need.
Could you re-emphasize why he's making a difference between justice and normal?
Okay, the reason is that In the previous chapter, we saw that the justice forms and the converted forms. In other words, that the converted form usually used the justice form.
Okay.
Now we find even a different step where the justice form and the converted form are different. And so we're not just putting the justice form for the converted. We're having a special converted form now. That's why it's listed as converted. This is even different than the justice form. The most common case is that the converted form is just the imperfect form with a law consecutive on it. Then in this previous chapter we had some that it wasn't the normal imperfect form, it was the justed form. And now we have some where it's not even the justed form, it's even the shortened form of that. So these verbs, that's why they're listing all three of these separate. That'll be explained more in the next paragraph at the top of this page, but that's the point here. So you see, we've even shortened up the whole until comes part two. The main thing to note here is that we're dealing with a class of verbs that has even a more special form for the converted form. Okay, then the two yos, we have some here. The normal form for the imperfect would be yasim, and you can hear it yod in your thematic vowel. Yasim, imperative seen, and the infinitive construct can be either soon or seen. And that's no end of problem too. It can go either way. So even though it's technically considered a two yod, it'll act like a two wow sometimes in the infinitive construct, either sum or seem. You'll have a note about that here too. Then the justed form, yasem, you get the seri, and then the converted form, wayasem, and you get the goal. So it's the same kind of idea, shortening down now with e vowels. So you start with yirik yod, then you go to seri, then you go to goal. With the converted form. This means to put or place. Come meant to arise, remember that. And some means to put or place. Okay, verbs of the second type are unstable in that the vowel of the infinitive construct varies between shurik and yurik yod. That's the point we noted there. Either sum or seem for this. So we called it unstable. We might do one or the other. Some verbs have yurik yod consistently, such as feet or sheep, excuse me, to place. While others have either vowel, like lean or loon, to pass the night. That verb will be seen both ways, sometimes with the hirik yod, sometimes with the shurik. Because of this variation, it may be listed in the lexicon under either root form. And that can, if you're pretty sure it's a two yod or a two wow, and you don't find it under one of them, look up the other one, because you might be looking at an infinitive construct form that could have been either way. So it might be listed under either one. Okay, was there a question anyway? Okay. Well, I wish it was easier. But again, most of these kinds of things are things that we have to just be aware of for recognition purposes. And having gone through this, you may feel like, boy, this is getting so complicated and confusing. But it's not designed so much for you to try to memorize each one of these and memorize exactly what it does. It's just that when you run into one of these in the text, you want to know what kinds of things they're liable to do so that the form won't throw you into confusion when you see it. In other words, if you see it in one place with a shurik and another place with a hirik yod, you'll say, oh, now I remember this is one of those, it goes both ways. And that's the reason to go through this, get some exposure to it. And that's the reason for the exercises. They really look at it. It's one thing to say you went through it and look at it in one ear and what the other. But after having done the exercises and after having wrestled with it a little bit, then you have a tendency to remember it longer. Okay, note that the justice and the form used with while conversive are distinct. So that's different than what we had in the previous chapter. Remember that the justice forms are limited to the third person singular masculine and feminine. Now, I wish he'd made that statement in the previous chapter, because he kind of leaves it confusing. Remember back there in the previous chapter where he's got that chart on page 124 and he's got justice at the top there, and he's got 3 MS and 3 FS, and then he's got 2 MS and 1 CS and 1 CT, a plural, all of them. And with the heading justice, it looks like it is applying to all of those, but it doesn't. It only applies to the first two of them.
Mm-hmm. Could they ask a question here, because I didn't quite understand. He said you have arrows, justice, and then you write, for example, second person masculine singular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what we call imperative.
Yes, right.
So, but above already you get with the paradigm, you get the imperative already. They're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So does it mean that these verbs have two imperatives?
Well, no, it means more that these are the shortened forms of the imperatives that are, what he's really getting at is, in a while consecutive form, you're going to see these forms. This isn't even so much an imperative as it is a second person form of the, for using while consecutive. In other words, I think the best way to think of this on this chart of 144 is to think of the first two adjustives and the rest of them as shortened forms of the imperfect. Yeah, and the first person one didn't call for what it is, but I think it wouldn't be wise to call the second person an imperative there. It's true that in that kind of a paradigm we're talking about, like justice, the word imperative, the things that line up with it, but in reality, the way these things are used, it's not as imperatives, but as the second person form in the walk executive. So it's got an imperfect idea, usually.
Is there something in the second person like kind of a weaker or politer imperative?
Yes, there is, and they usually use the imperfect for that.
Uh-huh.
And so that would still come out being the same. In other words, you might see a form like this for a weaker, but you could still call it an imperfect form, you know, a short form of the imperfect too. It'd be used in both ways. So the trouble is you've got one form that's covering two different things there, and so that makes it hard to decide what am I going to call it here. I think, you know, as long as you remember what it's going to do, you're probably all right. However you choose to note it and keep track of it, I think it'll be all right. But I wouldn't limit it only to imperatives, though. In other words, don't limit that 2MS there just to imperatives. It can be used as that implied imperative, but it's more generally and more commonly going to be used as just the second person form of the imperfect in the law of the second series. So that's just a flaw in the way that his chart is here, just the way it's worded, because he clarifies it, but not until the next chapter. Okay, now going back to lesson 32, remember that the adjunctive forms are limited to third person, singular, masculine, and feminine. The distinctive converted form with retraction of the accent to the preformative syllable is commonly found only in these same persons, plus second person, masculine, singular. Otherwise, the converted form is the same as the non-perfect. So again, we're seeing the same kind of thing where a converted form, the shortened forms are occurring especially in the third person masculine singular and feminine singular, and in the second person masculine singular. Those are about the most common ones you're going to find, you know, in narrative sequence. Narrative sequence are most commonly going to involve a man doing something, a woman doing something, or you doing something, and talking to a man. So that's proper. Perhaps why those are the ones that get shortened. The rest of them, the rest of the paradigm, if you want to talk consecutive, would just be the normal perfect form. But the justice form is different than the converted form here. And so if you wanted to say, let him arise, something like that, then you'd use this yakom with a colon. If you want to say, and he arose, you'd use yakom and use that retracted stress form with the common sense. Okay, here's the full paradigm then. We have the imperfect first off, and for the two wow is the yakum, takum, takum, takumi, akum, yakumu, and here's an interesting form, takumena, takumena. You get the segol yo just like you did with some of the other paradigms earlier, and in that position. And then, takumu for the feminine form, and then tikumena again, and nakum. So, I guess that was in the masculine plural form, that takumu. So you should put those down each time, just so keep linking with your eyes. So easy just to memorize the paradigm and not memorize what place one up there. Then for theme, psalm, it's yasim, tasim, tasim, tasimi, etc. In the same pattern, you get the same things, the gol yod, tisimena, and in the feminine plural forms, third person and second person. Justice, we got Yakom and Takom, and Yasim and Tasim, the feminine for the two vowels, two yod, and the two vowels is the whole. So it's just a matter of a different vowel in those. Otherwise, the pattern's the same. And then the converted forms, of course, they've got those listed here. And the most common, most important of those, the first three, really. Okay, and those just skip the sigol or the kamasa too, for the shortening of the vowel. So we have to list those separately in the paradigm now, because they do have different forms of these verbs. Now, most of your verbs don't have a separate converted form. The class that you had in the previous chapter used adjective forms, or a short form, generally the same form that for the adjective, at least for the third person. And then your verbs before that, your regular strong verbs and so forth, they just use nothing but the imperfect form. And they just put the wild person on that. Although we did have a few things like Wayomer and so forth, what we saw. We actually stressed the same kind of thing that's happening here. We just had it here and there before. Cohortative, that's just adding your commissae on, so nothing too difficult about that. If you look up your imperfect form, first person singular, akum, and you just add akuma and nakuma for the first person singular plural, asima and nasima, and you have it. Okay, imperative form, kum, kumi, kumo, kumu, excuse me, and komna, and notice the plural in that one. And this other one doesn't have an accepted form for that feminine plural, but if it were, it would be semna. The other is a sim, simi, simu, semna. Infinitive construct with suffixes. Since you've got an unchangeable long vowel involved here, you don't really have any stem changes. Kum, kumi, kumata, kumek, etc. But notice the thing over here with the next paradigm. Remember that infinitive construct? For steam could be with a shurek or with a shurek yod. They lift the paradigm of shurek. Maybe that's the one that first most often with this verb. But some of them will have either one, like this moon and lean. You'd have one paradigm. It could be loony or leany. Either one. Okay, everybody, try to compliment that. See, again, you've got lots of things in common with what you had before. Same ending systems and so forth. All we're dealing with now is just different vowels in the main stem of the imperfect, primarily. Remarks, number one, the imperfect feminine plural of the form tikomna instead of tikumena is also curved. So you might see a form like takomna, just a short, little bit shorter form. You lose that min, that sigol yod syllable. So I'll let you shorten it down a little bit. And you also, instead of beginning to kum, it's to kum. So you do see a shorter form of these once in a while. And several verbs, mainly with gutturals or resh as the final root consonant, have hafak instead of kum or segol in a converted form. So you're used to seeing a form or a goal, but some of them will take pasak if they have a final resh or a guttural. So yasur becomes wayasar, wayasar. You have a pasak there in that second syllable. On the basis of what we've seen before, you see, you would expect that in the converted form here, probably a kamaskatut. So I guess that's what he meant, a kamaskatut or a goal. So you would have expected something like wayasar. The Kamaskatup is Wayatar. So these are just exceptions. And Yanuak becomes Wayanak, Wayanak, with a comma again. I would keep the Apapak in that last syllable. And that was the Yanuak, why the Apapak version on that?
Unchangeable.
Yeah, I did that unchangeable Shurik before. As you know, Shurik was one of the ones that before, but if you have a faith or an ayin in the last position, it gets a spot up for you. Okay, the following verbs belonging to these two principal types that occur thus far in the text. So these are just reminding you verbs you've already had. Now you need to implement this information with those verbs. Most of them were two wows, but a couple of them were two yods. So we had gar, and the imperfect of that is yagur, so that's a two yod. We had sam, and the imperfect of that is yatum, sam, yakum, Shav Yashuv, mate with Yamut, Sham is Yasim, excuse me, Sam is Yasim, and Shar is Yashir. So the last two, Sam and Shar, are the only two that you've had here at Yod. Follow the two Yod pattern. The rest of them are two Wow.
So then technically all Hebrew words with three consonants to start with.
Well, that's kind of what they're trying to throw back on, is that they were all three continental roots to start with. It's hard to know, you know, that's assuming that they evolved or something, that they changed from that point. And who knows, you know, like McCubbin, you know, they may have gotten the languages the way it was. And all we're trying to do is we're trying to draw patterns that help us to see how the forms fit together. So it's really hard to say for sure, but that's what most of the
textbooks
say.
I always wondered why we had so many. I'd always wondered why all the rest of the words were three consonants,
Well, the fact is, when you go to the imperfect and so forth, something else shows up in there. So it looks like that's at least that's pattern that's always
in there. You know why those were in the originals, or whether since Yod and Wow were added, but for the vowels, you know, pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure that in the original, this Wow and Yod was there on these forms.
Because there are some types of variants in the Dead Sea Scrolls where Wows and Yod, they find them both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I'm just saying that in these particular verb forms, it would be interesting to check in those instances,
right,
in verb forms, to see if they're consistent.
That was what it was. It was verb form. Apparently, after the Babylonian captivity, they had the original text there too, but at that time they began to stick in the Wows and the Yods to represent a Shurik and Hebrew.
Right.
Now, it's the Masoretic done later in Greek. So, you'd still be in a question, even if you found it in the Hebrew text, whether what the original was. Kind of like what they were mentioning, the separate form of who and he, in the two. It'd be real interesting to see how that Samaritan and two treated.
That'd be an interesting thing to check some of the manuscripts to see, especially on these verb forms. Assuming that that these were added as vowels later on in some instances, to see if even in the earlier instances there was a shurek or a wow in those original forms, which would indicate that it would have more of a consonantal type or, you know, a real root sense to it. That's the impression that I get from what the books say. But of course, they don't give you quotes from the text and so forth yet. What's the word for it?
I was thinking about that, to look into some of that stuff.
It might be interesting with all that paper you were doing.
Yeah. It'll be real wild. You'd have to be writing out way to universities in New York.
Oh, I know.
Professors and things.
You have to really have an interest in it. That's perhaps why nobody has ever really proved it one way or the other. Nobody's interested in that. Okay, a few verbs occur with phoneme wow as the characteristic vowel of the imperfect and related form. So here we have, most of them are shurek, but here we have a few with phoneme wow. And other than that, they're pretty straightforward. Most important examples are ba, the normal form. The imperfect is yabo, not yabu, but yabo. And imperative, bo, the infinitive construct, bo, with an aleph, with a colon, wow, an aleph. So you notice your imperative just has colon, the infinitive construct has colon, wow. Justice, yabo. So the justice form is no different than the imperfect in these verbs. And the converted form, wayabo, there's no difference there either. So I'm not sure why you list them separately, except just maybe to show you that this is different than the ones you just looked at. Bosch becomes a yay Bosch, you get a seri in the preformative. And Bosch and Bosch for the infinite construct, no differences there. And or, is the form for the imperfect, but apparently doesn't occur. And we either just have or for the imperative and or for the infinite construct. I don't know what that, I didn't look that one up to see what the meaning was.
What?
Is it in the
black?
Well, the word, yeah, or.
Yeah,
maybe it's. Maybe something going to do. I'm not sure what the verb would be, though. If it's lightning, you do expect a gift deal. It's very positive. Yeah, I'll try to find it in the back here. We didn't have or in the vocabulary.
Yeah.
as lightened.
We did, yeah. But it was spelt differently, wasn't it?
With the holom wow.
Holom wow, yeah. And I'm looking for the original verb, which is olif resh.
No, they always listen with the holom, with the emphasis.
Yeah, that's right.
Holom verb, but they don't listen with it.
No. So it must either mean lighten or something along those lines. It's not listed back here.
We'll look up under light. Under the other direction, you might catch it.
Just give it light. Just give or as light in this direction. So
that's all I give it.
Oh, probably have to dig out a real lesson. Find out on that one. Okay, inflection proceeds as above. Variation between colon wow and colon in each form is not grammatically significant. And this kind of gets into the area where the fact that you find sometimes forms that are had a colon wow and they could just have a colon. And defective forms are called. So that kind of thing does happen in other instances. Note that the accent is not retracted in Wayabo. Not Wayabo, so it's really no different than any strong verb as far as that goes. Okay. Any other questions? Or somebody may want to grab a lexicon on that board and see if they can find the verb on that. So you look it up under olive colon ration, you should find it. Just see if there is a verb that's even used. All they give is an imperative infinitive construct. Infinitive construct can almost be construed as a noun. And the imperative, though, that'd be the interesting thing, that the imperative is an attested form. And it gives a perfect here of or, too. So apparently, it's an attested form of the perfect.
Or to become light, to shine, to enlighten.
To shine, to enlighten. Okay, that's funny, because normally you see those in DLs or DLs or something.
But he doesn't have. Well, he lists
it straight under what's on page 7, alliteration. Probably wouldn't be under
alliteration, I would doubt it. Well, this is
an analytical one, so that's... Oh, I see. find it, see if that would tell you if it's actually used that way in the perfect. But if it means shine, it certainly is. Okay, well, while he's doing that, we'll look at this vocabulary, 32. The sa, profit, gain, advantage, and the suffix fit b, you get the hirik in there, and the suffix no, the idiom ma, betsa, what profit is there? Okay, and sariz means eunuch or officer. A lot of their officers were eunuchs among the heathen, especially.
That's real interesting.
They don't list it. Used. Do they list it under any other form like ara or no?
They list it with or all of colon wow rage, like not a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fierce atlas, just like the word for life.
Oh, I see.
So,
what you may have here is a defective form of it.
Yeah.
That's really what happened.
Defective form isn't used. They used a bone one.
No, it's funny. Well, he might be doing this just because that's the way it's... Usually when he's got this, he means that it's a defective form. It could be an oversight, yeah.
Yeah, or this guy, one or the other.
Yeah. who's right and who's wrong? Right. You need that Hebrew program to find out.
We got to write it.
Depends on how many places there are to use.
Yeah. I doubt that it's used a whole lot.
Depends on which text we're going
to take. Oh, that's the last bell already. We'll stop here for next time. Yeah, go ahead and do the exercises for next time, and let me make sure I give you the right numbers. It's still the odd numbered ones. Odd numbered ones except for the reading. So A and B are oral ones, so we can just do those in class. But do C, D, and E. C and D, the odd ones, and E, the whole thing. It's a pretty short reading. It's a pretty short reading. Yeah, they all look like that.